Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. But this morning we're also going to be talking about money power. Now, the reason this is important is the topic we're going to be discussing today is education. And no matter what your age is, you're always going to want to advance. But what if you want to get a degree? No matter who you are, again, no matter what your age, you need to know that there are ways that you can attain a college education. And if you're like me and you have friends that have family members that are going back to school, and they wonder, how in the world are we going to pay for this? College costs tens of thousands of dollars, not just a few thousand dollars a year, but tens of thousands of dollars, and people end up with loans that actually will break their back financially if they're not wise. The young lady we're going to be interviewing today, her name is Christina Ellis. She's written a book called Confessions of a Scholarship Winner. She is going to be sharing with us some secrets, not all of them, obviously, because we won't have time, but a number of secrets that enabled her to win $500,000 in free money so that she could go to college, and she went all the way through getting her doctorate. And we want to welcome Christina Ellis to the show. Christina, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Christina, you graduated from Vanderbilt University with dual majors in human and organizational development and also business planning and entrepreneurship, which is a powerful combination. You have been recognized as a Gates Millennium Scholar, a U.S. Presidential Scholar, a Coca-Cola National Scholar, and you've gotten beaucoup other scholarships and grants. And you also have won two Junior Olympic gold medals in gymnastics. You were Miss Indiana Teen USA. You're a young woman with tremendous accomplishments already under your belt. But you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You came from a very, very hard-working family. Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, actually, when I was 3 years old, my father was diagnosed with brain cancer, which was a complete shock to our family because he was always the healthy one. Nobody ever saw that coming. And my mom is from Venezuela, so she didn't know a lot of English. So she really had to, you know, learn how to start working and providing for our family. When I was seven, my dad actually passed away from cancer, and it was really hard. I mean, we slipped below poverty level and really had to fight just to make ends meet and also trying to recover emotionally from, you know, losing our father, who we loved so much. And then when I reached my freshman year of high school, my mom basically sat me down and she said, you know what, I love you and I believe in you, but there is no way I can support you financially once you graduate from high school, so you're on your own for college. And she explained that she was telling me that because she did love and believe in me, and she wanted me to succeed in life. So I really started working hard. You know, I worked around the clock trying to figure out how I could win scholarships and stand out in the application process and win enough to make my way through college. And, you know, it was challenging. I had to work a lot. I had to even work in the watermelon field just to be able to pay to participate in activities like Miss Indiana. But fortunately, all that hard work really did pay off because I won over $500,000 in scholarships and was able to graduate debt-free. So even though it was hard and even though I faced, you know, challenges growing up and I had those moments of feeling like I have no idea if I can ever make it through or achieve this goal, you know, I eventually did, and it was definitely worthwhile.
You had experienced levels of discrimination. Your mother experienced discrimination, and this is something that the word discrimination in people's minds often is something that is applied to a racial situation. Well, your mother experienced that. People were very thoughtless in some of their remarks, but your mother persevered. She said, no, this, you know, I'm here in the U.S. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise my children here, even though my husband is dead. And your mother had a tremendous emotional, mental, and even physical constitution. And I think it's because of, you know, the family that she knew she had to take care of. She just said, I'm not going to buckle under. And the fact that she was so honest with you, not apologetic, but honest with you, that you were going to have to do what was necessary to attain what you wanted, that's a tremendous amount of courage, I feel. And, of course, she was very supportive of you through the whole thing. But you had people slander you. You had people that were petty. And I don't know of anyone that's been successful in attaining things that hasn't gone through stuff like this. What do you think is one of the key aspects of dealing with discerning how, that's probably the better way to say it, discerning how to deal with those that are the negative naysayers that will use caustic remarks many times to put people down?
That's a really good question. I mean, it's really important to look at yourself, look internally, and confirm yourself, believe in yourself, and don't let those words and those negative attitudes bring you down. You know, like you said, I did deal with a lot of naysayers. I won Miss Indiana in high school, which was one of the best experiences of my life. You know, I won a pageant with 191 girls that I never expected to win. I mean, we were basically in poverty. I had to work in the watermelon fields to raise, you know, the money to participate. My mom sat with me every night to help train. You know, a lot of girls can hire trainers, but we didn't have that money. So, you know, we worked around the clock trying to figure out how to do interviews and how to raise money to participate. So we really, really worked hard to get there. And when I won, it was a shock. We never saw it coming. And the thing is when I got back to high school, all of my friends turned on me. There were terrible rumors started, and it just started a series of just years of bullying that kids spit on me as I walked by. They laughed. They called me terrible names. And, you know, that's really hard for anybody who ever experiences people not believing in their dreams and thinking that they shouldn't be where they're at. That's just hard to experience. But the thing that kept me going was hope for their future. You know, I was able to look in myself and go, hey, you know what? That's not true. You know, it's hard sometimes when there are a lot of people saying bad things about you to not question yourself and not start to doubt yourself a little, but you've got to stay resolute and determined and just very comfortable in the fact that, you know, the rumors aren't true and that you can stay strong. You know, I was so determined to reach a better future and to reach those dreams and goals that I had in mind that I wasn't going to let naysayers or negative attitudes bring me down. And I just encourage anybody who is, you know, going through that, who is experiencing people speaking negative things over their lives or that are experiencing negativity, to just keep pushing and stay focused on a goal and stay focused on getting through it, not living in that moment of negativity.
In your book, and I quote from Confessions of a Scholarship Winner, you say, fearlessness is living in spite of those things that scare you to death. And I think that that is a very true gold nugget of understanding. And we all have to face our own fears. And you just made a comment about hard work, perseverance, focus, determination, and preparing yourself for success. Now, one of the components, I call it the big D, discipline. And this is something that when you were in school, the general attitude is, well, party and play and this type of thing. But your determination was, no, I've got to be able to do these things, because if I don't do what I feel is right for me, then I'm not going to be able to reach my objective. Now, one of the things that comes into play with working towards getting scholarships, and again, I want my audience to know that this is with scholarships of any level of age, and that may sound a little strange because you're a young person, but I just got some material the other day about grants and scholarships for mature women. Over 50-some-odd percent of college attendees are women today, and many of them are over the age of 50. So college and education is something that's an ongoing process, and it is attainable. It is available to you, just like my guest Christina Ellis is stating, you can reach for it. Now, let's look at the scholarship, some of the scholarship strategies, you say 90% of the scholarship seekers are in their junior year or later before they take the first step. Now, we're dealing with kids that are in school right now. So scholarships, in my understanding, is that some people start working on them when they're freshmen in high school. When did you start working on getting your scholarship?
I started working my freshman year. You know, fortunately, my mom sat me down and she had that conversation with me, that very real conversation where she explained our family's financial situation. And she said, hey, you've got to start thinking about this because this is inevitably your future. Like, we cannot pay for your college. So the sooner you start thinking about it, the sooner you can create strategies for standing out. So when she sat me down and had that conversation, it lit a fire in me to start creating a strategy. I sat down in the library and I read every book I could find on scholarships and tried to start thinking through what I personally could do to build my resume and my credentials up to stand out in the process. And I started working on that. I realized that scholarship programs are looking for students who are very active and involved, and they're displaying scholar qualities like character and leadership, teamwork, volunteerism, and work ethic. So I started trying to think through, you know, how can I display that in my life? I've got 4 years to work on standing out in the scholarship process and winning scholarships. So what can I start doing right now to help myself stand out? And I got involved in activities. I started really getting involved in volunteer work, taking up leadership roles, and doing things that application judges are looking for in their scholarship winners.
One of the points that you brought out that I was not aware of, and I thought, this is really good news. There are additional grants and gift aids that schools have. And I was amazed when you said that it is less expensive to go to what would be considered a high-level institution than a lower-level institution because of the grants and gift aids that they offer, especially if you are a person with a relatively low income. And I thought, my goodness, that just doesn't seem logical, because these expensive universities, they can cost up to $40,000, $50,000, some of them even $60,000 a year. And those are numbers that most families couldn't even begin to wrap their minds around. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, actually, it's very true for some students. Like you said, some of the lower income students whose families have a very high, low expected family contribution, which is basically the number that is generated from your FAFSA that determines how much financial aid a student's eligible for. If you go to one of these more expensive private institutions, a lot of times they have larger endowments. They have a lot more donations that have been given to their school that go to scholarships. And some of these schools, for example, my university, Vanderbilt University, I know Harvard does this, and a lot of the elite institutions do this. They've implemented these no student loan policies. So basically, if your family can't afford an education and your FAFSA says so and you have a very low ESC, they have no student loan policies. So let's say that your ESC is zero and that it says that you can't afford an education. They'll actually use endowments and give you grants and scholarships to fully fund your education and not have to take out any student loans, which if you apply to a private school, and even if you had a zero ESC, you'd still probably have loans in your package and be missing a little bit of that gap. So it's interesting because a lot of students think, oh my goodness, my family could never afford a $50,000 education. But they're often very surprised to see how much gift aid is actually available in their package because of those huge endowments at some of the private schools.
You say student loans stink. And you have that in bold type in your book. And you emphasize that over and over again. Why? They are promoted all the time. Why are you so against student loans?
Well, man, as I've gotten out of college, I've had students and friends in my life that got roped into student loans. And right now, they're starting this wonderful life. They got a great education. They went to a top 20 school. You know, they should be living a great life. You know, they have a great job. They've got everything lined up, but they're roped and strapped down with student loans. they're paying over $1,000 a month in student loan payments, you know, when they should be thinking about getting a new car or getting a new house. They can't do that right now because they have student loan payments and they don't see any end in sight. And that's just such a rough way to start out. You know, I remember going to all these college tours where the admissions officers would make it sound so easy to pay back student loans. They'd be like, you know what? It's no big deal. If you have to take out $100,000 in student loans, don't worry about it. You're going to get this great job after graduation, and it'll be a piece of cake to pay back. You know, that is not true at all. But whenever you don't know any better and you're 17, 18 years old, it's easy to get roped into that and, you know, wake up 5 years later and you're strapped down with these huge loans that just keep growing. They, you know, accumulate with interest, and it can just be rough. So I really try to emphasize to students, you know, be really careful and evaluate, because it's really not that easy to pay back. I break down an example in my book where I basically, you know, I show a student, okay, let's say that I give the University of Notre Dame, I say, you know, it costs about $55,000 a year. You know, if you go there and you get a scholarship for half of that, and you only have to take out $100,000 in student loans, which, you know, a lot of students would be excited about, you know, because that's a half scholarship. But right. If you break down their entire budget and what the loans would cost after graduation, they would still not be able to pay their bills by over $400 every month, which is just a really rough prospect. That's even if they get the great job after graduation. So I just really want to paint a picture to students to be careful. And, you know, student loans are sometimes necessary and sometimes they're the right decision, but just make sure you really evaluate all other options and give scholarships your best shot so that if possible, you can avoid being in that situation.
Now, you talk about online scholarship databases. Now, this is something that is very important in your notes, because you say there's a downfall of these resources. You literally don't know what you're missing because the database doesn't always match you with every scholarship you're actually eligible for. What are the amounts of scholarships that are available? Now, $500,000 came from a number of different scholarships. And I interviewed a young man back in 2002 or 2003, where he had paid for his education. He had gotten $100,000 and started actually his own business. He was an entrepreneurial style person too. But I just was fascinated with this particular statement. People might say, gee, everything's online, and if they don't show that I would be acceptable, it wouldn't work. What is the best way to go about finding scholarships? There's two questions. About how many are there? Do you have any idea? And where do you go to find out about available scholarships?
Well, there are over 1.5 million separate scholarship awards given out every year, totaling over $3 billion, which
wow.
is just amazing and incredible. So if you are thinking about applying for scholarships, I encourage you to go out there and get one, because the money is going to be given away to somebody, and it might as well be you. And then to find scholarships, there are all sorts of ways. You know, online databases can be a great resource, a resource that can really narrow down the scholarship search for you and help you target in on scholarships that really fit you. So I wouldn't write them off. It's definitely a great way. But like you said, you know, you can miss out on a lot of the opportunities, because if it targets 100 scholarships, there are over 1.5 million awards out there. So you would most likely apply or be eligible for several of those other awards. So I actually really like scholarship books. There are these big, thick books that are released every year and updated every year that have those 1.5 million awards listed within. The books like the Ultimate Scholarship Book and Kaplan Scholarships are just full of awards, and they break it down into different categories, different eligibility criteria. For example, they have scholarships that are available to students from each state. They have scholarships for students that volunteer. And they just break it down and make it very simple for you to find scholarships. So I really recommend to thumb through those and try to, at least it'll help you get more of a target and focus on if you do want to go onto Google and look for your scholarship there. If you read one of these books, you'll at least know what keywords to type in and how to conduct your search. Also, another great place to find scholarships are your high school guidance counselor. you know, a lot of times when a scholarship is looking to promote their program to students, they go to the place where they know students are, high schools, and the guidance counselor is a point of contact for that. So I really encourage students to set up a meeting with their counselor and talk to them about what scholarships are available in their community and what resources they have to help them. And also, colleges and universities usually have a page within their website that's dedicated just to scholarships. So if you already kind of have an idea of what college you want to go to, thumb through their website and see what scholarships they have available, because a lot of times there are even scholarships that are just for that particular university, and they might be hard to find if you just looked on a basic search on Google. So visit your college's homepage and really try to dig through and see what they have available too.
Guarding your online presence, this is a very big issue today, and a number of young people have, and even older people, I mean people of all ages, have put things online that were absolutely inappropriate, and it has gone full circle to bite them viciously. People have been denied job opportunities. They've been denied, you know, scholarships, all of this. And this is so important. And you cover that very well. Going back to the scholarships for a moment, you say it's important to monitor and confirm that all the funds that you're granted via scholarship, you want to stay on top of making sure that they are going to be there as they should be. What did you do when you were awarded the scholarship so that you made sure that all of the money was in the right place? What did you do?
Well, first of all, I really made sure I understood the process and understood the game. You know, I recommend students to really read books that are out there. For example, my book, or there are other great books that explain the scholarship process. They explain the financial aid process. You know, they help you see exactly what the process is. It can be a little complicated at first. It can feel overwhelming when you look at your FAFSA. It can be easy to just go, oh my goodness, I don't know what this is talking about, and just kind of go, you know what, they'll figure it out. But you can really lose a lot of money that way. You know, look at your school's financial aid website and really seek to understand each element of your package. Understand what grants that you have. Understand if you're taking out loans, where they're going to, and just keep on top of it. Schools will actually mail out your financial aid package, and it will break down every piece of funds that you have. And just check through. You know, I actually had a computer error that happened to me at one point, and just one of my scholarships for $1,500 didn't get placed on there. And, you know, it was a really tiny error when you were looking through all these numbers and thumbing through the package that would have been really easy to miss. But because I knew the process and I knew exactly where each of my funds were coming from, and I was actually really monitoring each thing, I was able to go to my financial aid officer and say, hey, this isn't right. And I actually had to really talk to her for about 10 minutes because she didn't even see the error. But fortunately, finally, we realized it, and she was able to reinstate those funds. But if I wasn't paying attention, and if I was just kind of letting it happen, we would have completely missed out on that $1,500, which is a lot of money.
Yes, it is. And that is where paying attention to detail comes into play. And I think that that is a discipline. That is something that I've been guilty of it. Many, many people, like you say, you just assume things are going to be taken care of. And here was a computer glitch that wasn't caught. And that's why it's very, very good to be attentive. And all of that really, for you as a young person, has prepared you for work in the real world. I mean, your education, you can have the best education in the world, but if you can't get a job, then that is what is facing a lot of young people. And the points that you've brought out relative to the loans and the monies and how you process things and all of this, you're not given a guarantee just because you've gotten that degree. It doesn't mean that you are going to have someone greeting you with a magnificent proposal. You might be one of those lucky ones, but you may also have to be a shuttle driver for a while until you are able to get what you're really aiming for. And that's what I like about your book, The Confessions of a Scholarship Winner, is understanding that this is your job. Whoever you are as an individual, when you're wanting to acquire these scholarships, you have to pay attention to the fact that this is about you. It's not about other people's opinions, and I really respected that because you learned a great deal, both from your mother and from the various circumstances that you went through. It was almost as if you were being put through a marathon course of type. And you make a statement in your book, don't allow yourself to be intimidated by peers. You have just so much wonderful information that I think that this book is so well done and so direct in its information and the way it's presented. It's an easy read for anybody. And I just think that you've got so much to offer in this book that I myself have recommended it to some families who've got kids in high school. And one was, they've got a son that's going after a master's degree. He's gone through college, but mom now, that she'd saved for a long time so he could go to college, but now he's going to be going for his master's and eventually a doctorate. So he's entering into a world where scholarship application really is going to be important for him. And I told her about the book, and she got excited. What is your website, Christina, that people can go to find out more about these wonderful tools that you are recommending?
My website is ChristinaEllis.com, KristinaEllis.com, and I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which you can link to through my website. And I will be posting regular updates and blog posts and more information. And I actually have developed a new website recently to help students that are in the process and they want to interact and they want to ask questions. Then they can go onto this website and just be really interactive, and that's thecollegeninja.com. And that's going to be constantly updated. So if you are in the process, please come join in on the conversation and get involved. I'd love to help you.
Okay, so we've got two websites here, ChristinaEllis.com, and that's K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Ellis, E-L-L-I-S.com. Also, CollegeNinja.com, which I just think is a real cool name. So this is something, I think, Christina, you've given a gift to a lot of people by having this book published, Confessions of a Scholarship Winner. And I would say to those of you who are adults, you need to know there are grants and scholarships that if you as an adult want to go back to school, you will have them available. There is so much out there that, hey, we just need to know where to look. Check with your librarian. Check with, you know, the counselors at whatever school that you're wanting to work through. But no, you have options. And that, again, is what Christina Ellis has put in her book, Confessions of a Scholarship Winner. How these tips that she shares with you, she calls them secrets, they're not secrets anymore, how they enabled her to get $500,000 in money for college. You can achieve that. Who knows? Maybe you'll even be able to do better. Whatever, it's out there for you. Christina Ellis, thank you so much for being my guest. Have a magnificent life. And when you come out with your next book, be sure and let me know.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Christina. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Seth. He's going to be telling us how he learned to smile from the inside. Personal story. Also, Darlene Price. If you have fear of public speaking, I think you're going to find her book, Well Said, is a great deal of interest. Making Your Shift, Beverly Flaxington. And then my guest that was scheduled for Friday, well, he had to reschedule because of a major adjustment in his speaking schedule. So we're going to be booking him for next month. And so Friday will be an open mic day. I had the pleasure of having a wonderful person stay with us. It was a little fur person. Her name is Kelty. She is a West Highland Terrier, and I had to laugh because when you bring a pet, we have a Scottish Terrier, as those of you know, when you bring a terrier, another dog into your environment, it's fascinating to watch how things evolve. And terriers are known for being extremely independent dogs, and they are very much like cats. They think for themselves. You can actually see their thinking wheels grinding when you want them to do something, and they will analyze it for a little bit of time. And I thought to myself, after her going home, she was with us for a few days, I thought, dogs are so much like people. They really are. And there is so much about them that is so much fun to observe that actually, in animals, you can see a mirror of the persons that have them as owners. It really is interesting. But I found that this little character, not only was she very independent, but she, I thought, gave some wonderful lessons. Let me put it that way. When you just watch nature or you watch other critters, you find that they have a lot to teach us if we're willing to learn. And one of the things that I noticed with this little West Highland Terrier is that she was willing to adapt. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I just was thinking about it this morning before the show. How many of us in today's world, with all of the speed of advancing technology, take the time to really watch what's going on in our own lives? And the fact that we may have to adapt. Sometimes it's an illness, sometimes it's a financial crunch. Sometimes it is dealing with people that are just real pains in the neck. Sometimes it's dealing with loneliness. Sometimes it's dealing with all kinds of things. And I watched this little dog in a brand new environment and how she just, first thing, she was checking things out. Well, have you ever observed how cats, dogs, birds, they'll do this? What is their environment like that they're brought into? Now, she did some checking. And everything met with her approval, by the way, which I have to say that tongue-in-cheek. But at the same time, she was willing to try new things. She discovered that she really liked the food that I served my Scotty, Victor. And she had her own regimen, but she said, I like his. Give me some of that. And she was very adamant. Even though she couldn't say a word, her actions portrayed a curiosity, and also an interest. She sampled it, and she came back for more. Now, what this showed me is something we all need to be aware of. Life demands adaptation. Whether we're young, old, or everything in between, we need to remember that adaptability is a part of our life. If we need to go back to school for education, go ahead and do that. If we need to do anything that is going to empower us as individuals, could be relocating, could be finding a different job, could be just trying something new, like this little West Highland Terrier was doing. We need to be unafraid. We need to have the type of attitude that opens ourselves up to the potential opportunity that is facing us. And the other thing that I found, and I'm sure any of you that have animals have experienced this, is persistence. And terriers are known for this. She had big brown eyes, and she would sometimes bark, but more often than not, she would sit very quietly and would just look at you. And would just look at you with these great big brown eyes, pleading with those eyes. Do any of you have pets that do that to you? Mm-hmm. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Babies do the same thing. There is this look, and they communicate without words. But more importantly, there was also appreciation. This little terrier, just like my little Scotty, in their own way, they will let you know how much you mean to them. And they're very present in the moment. It's right here, right now, that makes the difference. They're not so concerned about what's happening tomorrow. They are concerned about what is going on right now. They are very focused. And I think lots of times we can learn from that. Instead of trying to multitask as much as we try to, we women are so guilty of that. Focusing on what's going on in a moment. What is most important to you? How are things working out with you? But living in the moment of now. Having goals and aspirations is a wonderful thing. But I think this little terrier, well, she was a teacher in her own way to me, bringing home in the sense of not just a pun, but actual reality, how in the moment that we're living, this is what counts. Our attitudes, our dispositions, what we are going to do with what we have at the moment. What are our goals, our aspirations? Are we willing to adapt if maybe we find that the goal or aspiration we're aiming for really isn't what we want? Causes for a shift. All of this and more. A little West Highland Terrier. She weighed only 10 pounds, but she brought these lessons home to me very, very clearly. She's back home now with her mom, who had a delightful trip. And I'm very glad that I made the acquaintance and got to know this little character that had so much personality and so much to teach me as a guest in my home. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. If you are a first-time listener, you just need to give me your first name or your initial. It's that simple. And, of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. So no matter where you are, just give me a buzz, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And that's 888-627-6008. I wanted to pass along a little bit of health information that crossed my desk. How many of you have had sore feet? I mean, just feet that really give you a problem. Well, there is a type of botulism that they have discovered. Thank you. I know we've got a caller on the line, so let me just give this to you quickly before we go to break. So, caller, stay with me. We'll be coming to you. But there are heel aches that are caused by painful foot condition, plantar fasciitis. I know you've heard that term. There was a study done in Mexico that regular stretching exercises plus a shot of the botulinum toxin treated the heel inflammation fine. And this is okay, but do you know, there are many, many things that you will be able to work with, but this is similar, apparently, to a Botox product, and they're finding that it's actually giving some relief to people. So just a little tidbit there. This is Donna Sebo. Caller, you're on the line. We will be coming to you right after the break. We're taking a break. Call in number 888-627-6008.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication, along with a press release, to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497.
Hi, this is Donna. Let's get to our caller who has been waiting for us very patiently. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat. How are you? I'm in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat in Connecticut. I'm sure your weather is warming up over there.
Yes, today is going to be quite warm.
Well,
yes.
Here it's looking like it's going to rain. And after seeing all the weather reports around the country and the high temperatures anywhere from the 80s to the 90s in many parts, I say, thank you very much. I'll take the cooler temps here. But it's just springtime in Connecticut is gorgeous. It is absolutely beautiful. Well, Pat, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I am looking at is paperwork. I think that you are closing the book on something that is financially has been a bit of wear and tear on you, but you're finally going to be able to close it up by the end of June. There is also something here where you are making an evaluation about what you may need to do to create a shift towards the development of a, what I'd call a secondary income. And this is something that would be on a seasonal basis. I don't know exactly what this is entailing, but you're going to be given a concept and ideas by some individuals that you're going to find yourself spending some time with in a, that's a coffee shop or a restaurant. It's like a group of you getting together. And I think that all of you that will be chatting are pretty much in the same boat where you're saying, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? So I would just say, let imagination reign. Don't close the door on anything. And if you can, remember to always take with you a little notebook pad, something that has like a spiral edge to it so you can flip the pages easily. And I believe you're going to have some pretty good ideas come your way. And you're going to say, I hadn't thought about that, hadn't thought about this, hadn't thought about the other. Let me see where I can go with it. And I believe you're going to be on the phone making some calls to various people and or businesses and saying, could you use somebody? And I see this secondary income, again, it would be seasonal, and it would be very, very beneficial to you. But I'm seeing some money. I'm looking at dollar signs floating into you, and you're picking one up, and then you're picking another dollar sign. And, yes, it seemingly is coming out of the air, but apparently there is going to be a specific venue that you are going to find yourself in, and you're going to be happy with it. It's going to give you that financial flexibility that you want. And you need to do some gentle exercises like Tai Chi or yoga, something that's going to continue to keep your muscles, especially in your legs, interestingly enough, supple. Now, why more in your legs than in your back, I'm not quite sure. But I think there's a tightening of muscles, almost like a shortening of a couple of muscles in your leg, especially around your kneecap. I'm getting the right leg. And when I look at this, very gentle stretching exercises would keep that area good and strong so you wouldn't feel like you were getting almost like what I'd want to say, like a hitch in the get-along in the kneecap. And I don't want you to have to go through that, but you must do this on a regular basis. This isn't something that you could do once a month and then forget it and go on once a month. No, not at all. What would you like to ask me today?
I have to say, you're absolutely right about the knee, and I've been thinking about yoga and trying to push myself to do it, and this financial thing sounds very creative. Thank you. Three things, Donna, and you, if you see them as all different answers, that's fine. You don't have to deal with it. But companionship, financial, home. I've not had really any of that for 30 to 50 years, and I'm sort of getting worn down, sort of tired, you know, hanging on and hoping and trying to manifest. What do you see ahead of me? I think maybe most importantly would be companionship and financial security.
Well, I think the financial was answered for you to a degree.
Okay.
Not 100%,
okay,
but to a degree, because that would take a lot of time. With the companionship, there is a blockage, and this is something that's on a subconscious level, because you're so preoccupied with, let's just say, the basic facts of life. You're preoccupied,
yeah,
with that. And you're very focused and very conscientious and disciplined about much of it. So you need to just be okay that that partner is going to be in your space. Now, one of the challenges you have is that you're really not interested in marriage. You really are, and it's only a challenge in your mind. It's not a big deal in anybody else's. But you really don't want to be tied down. And that's because, and when I use that, that's the imaging I'm getting. It's as if you feel like you will end up being shackled, and you don't want to be shackled. So you need to make it okay that your life can be rich with companionship, and that it may not just be with one individual, in the sense that companionship can come in many different forms. And the, having a significant other would mean a commitment on your part. And if that is something that would be okay with you, then that probably will be a person, there will be a person in your space within a year. But there is this war that goes on within you, and it goes way, way, way back. And that is fear of being dominated by someone else. So all you need to know is that you don't need to be fearful. You don't need to have that concern. You're a mature woman. You can have companionship in your life where that is not going to be something you deal with. And so old walls will come down. But you also are in the process of cultivating some new friendships with people that can open up your life socially. And that is something that has not always been easy for you. And that's all right. So there are some shifts that are occurring now. And it's not a matter of just hanging on. There is no magic parachute here. It is just releasing, knowing that you're going to be happy and comfortable with where you are right in this moment, as well as having somebody in it or not having somebody in it. But I really think that this is going to be, this particular aspect of letting go is going to be a major breakthrough for you. A major breakthrough for you. So you just need to be aware that the time is coming when you, and it's very close, where you are letting go of those barriers that you've used as insulation for yourself. You don't have to be concerned. There's no harm here. No one is going to harm you, and you are going to be safe. And I think having, quote-unquote, the home, your home is right where you are because you carry it with you wherever you are. And so this is something I would just, actually, you need to let it go. You need to look at what you'd like to have, if it's a small house, if it's a condo, whatever it is that you want, and just say, you know, I don't have to know how this is going to come about, but I'm just going to let it be, but I'm going to be content and full and satisfied with where I am and make my environment as beautiful and as pleasant as I want it to be. You're really in a very interesting year here, very interesting year, because there's a lot of closure on old stuff. And this isn't criticism of you at all. This is just part of your journey, and it's part of your self-discovery.
Yep. I'm doing a lot of work with that. You're absolutely right on. I just have to, did I hear you say within a year a partnership?
I am looking at a companionship within a year.
Great. That
comes about because you will have dissolved the barriers. Remember what I said? No fear.
I understand. All this information is terrific, and it will be, I will put it before me to work on it. Thank you so much. And you're
well,
right.
Well, you know what, Pat? I'd say stop trying to work on it. And when I say stop trying to work on it, I mean that. What I want you to do is just know. And do a vision board for yourself.
Okay.
This is something that I think you can say, this is what I'd like. This is, you know, I really like. And do the daydreaming. Give yourself a chance just to dream, and then don't worry about how it's going to come about, because the steps will be brought to you. But you want to be sure that whatever you're asking for is always going to be complemented with not just a thank you, but also the awareness that you want it equally as beneficial and as harmonic for whoever comes into your life or whatever environment you move into, that it's blessed for everybody. It's a win-win-win. That's the best way I know how to say it. And
thank you
just
so much,
know
Donna.
That somehow it's going to come about. It'll surprise you.
Okay. Terrific.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Pat. This is Donna Sebo. You can give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. I want to share a story with you, and this is a personal story, because when I was talking with Pat, this came to my mind. I have a very, very dear friend, Gail. We've known each other for years, and there was a birthday celebration for her sister, who is currently in her 80s. And Gail's sister is quite a bit older than she is, and she said, I want to do something special. So they came up with this concept of a mink and diamond celebration for her sister. Now, her sister is very well off financially. There's nothing she needs. But Gail and her daughter said, this will just be whimsical. And they shared this whimsical theme with a sister, and she just got a kick out of it. She said, oh, you're going to get me a mink coat, and you're going to get me a diamond brooch. You know, it was really a lot of fun. So everybody was having a good time with it. Well, Gail said to me that they had found some faux fur, and they went and made this stole of fur, and it was just so much fun. They had so much fun putting this together because they knew the sister's shoulder measurements, and it was like in a 1950s style, so it was just really cute. And Gail was telling me how she just really would like to find something with rhinestones, you know, to simulate the diamond theme. So she had mentioned this to me, and I said, well, you know, there's this store, a consignment store that just opened up. Let me see if I can go in. Maybe they've got something. Because we were looking for something gaudy. Gail said she really wanted something that was just really, really gaudy. So I drive over on my afternoon errand cycle. I drive over, stop in at this store, and as it turned out, the store was supposed to have been closed. While their door was open, I walked in, not knowing that this was the store's day for closure. And I didn't know the owner at that time. Renata is her name. And Renata said to me, what are you doing here? Why are you here? The store is closed. And I said, oh, my goodness. I just saw the door open. She said, oh, yes, it's a warm day, and so we are rearranging things, but I'm not really open for business. Well, her husband was there, and he said, well, what's going on? So I told her about my friend Gail and how we were looking for something that was big and gaudy as a rhinestone. You know, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to have to stop this story. I'm going to have to share the rest of the story with you because it's a story about manifestation that had a strange but fun ending. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. I'm sorry to keep you hanging. I'll have to share it with you tomorrow. Oh, have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening wherever you are. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.